Hello, this is an episode of Gareth Jones on Speed where I wander around looking at some very interesting vehicles. Now, obviously, I work very hard to describe what's in front of me for your ears, but if you want to see pictures, because you're struggling to visualise the exact vehicle I'm talking about, then I will publish those pictures on the page for this episode of Gareth Jones on Speed, episode 518. Get it at garethjones.tv. Or you can follow me on Threads at GarethJonesTV. I'll probably post the pictures there for your entertainment and pleasure. And now, continuing with the entertainment and pleasure, join me at a festival of transport. Don't know why I did it in that weird voice. Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed. I'm Gareth. I'm in a place called Bodavon Fields, which is Welsh, if you want a translation, I suppose that's Benign River Fields, in Llandudno, in North Wales, because there are two big events on this weekend, and I think you're going to like one of them. The wider event is called the Victorian Extravaganza, which Llandudno, having a fantastic Victorian front and history, makes the most of. But separate to that, or within it, it's a bit like a sort of a Venn diagram, right? Where the two bits intersect, there's an event called the Festival of Transport. And because of that Victorian intersection, there's going to be some steam stuff here too. But I've just come into the fields and I'm confronted by trucks. Loads of trucks. And mercifully, my mate Phil Williams, who you know from the programme, is with me, knows more about trucks than I do. Phil, what are you enjoying at this particular point where we have a range of things in front of us? Go on, give us a quick overview of what everything is.
Star of the show here for me is Buckley's Cranes, the Atkinson crane there, the Matador in particular, and its sister vehicle, which are very local to us, their bases. And the Matadors are still working. They use them as working vehicles.
This is what, a 1950s vehicle, 40s?
I'd say it's a Second World War truck, I think. It's
yeah.
A Second World War troop carrier, so you're talking somewhere between 1940 and 1945, I would have thought, yeah.
And alongside it, that Atkinson crane, a wonderful geodesic, that frame, yeah, yeah. That crane, yeah.
I think it's a 10-ton crane.
Nice. And again, that's from, I'd say, 58, possibly? No, earlier than that, 52?
1955.
55. Look at it with its eight wheels. We're going to get lost in that. There's a row of haulage vehicles, all dressed up in classic TJ Parry and Sons Limited from Shrewsbury, which of course used to be part of Wales, and a whole bunch of classic trucks. We're going to go for a walk down that in a moment, but right at the door when you come in, there's a Unimog, the latest Unimog, and it's something you and I agree, Phil, isn't it? It is the ultimate, isn't it?
Yeah, I've driven one of these.
Have you?
Yeah, we had one when I worked for the water board, a road tractor, yeah. Just fantastic. It's the ultimate off-road machine, really.
I built a Lego version for Christmas a few years ago, which was so tricky we had to enlist Zog to help us build, and we finished it thanks to Zog. But I'd love to drive a Unimog. I was promised the loan of one once to go camping from Mercedes, but it never quite manifested. Hey, come on, let's go down this row here, because I can see in front of me, like I said, all these TJ Parry and Sons vehicles. That's a lovely trailer from, again, that's middle 60s, that one, Phil, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. A Mammoth.
Mammoth Major. I guess at 1962, 1960.
AEC, who are no longer with us.
That's like right. Many
of the names here. Unlike Leyland, they... Oh, now we've got a story for you. Hang on. Yeah, but there's a Leyland here. Now, that's quite an early Leyland. Again, that's 62, 68 maybe?
Yeah. Little S-type Bedford, that's probably mid to late 50s.
You'll know the S-type Bedford.
I owned two RLs, the military 4x4 version of the S-type.
Come on, let's go and talk about that, because it's an important one. I've got a story for you. Phil's buying a vehicle. Not today, and not one of these, but he is getting something quite extraordinary, but we'll talk about that another time. But we'll lay the foundation for it. This is the S-Type, Bedford S-Type.
Bedford S-Type commercial.
Oh, there you go. 1953, Tony Tatton owns it.
Right.
Wow.
Well, one of my RLs was a 1953. But the RL looks like a much bigger vehicle than this, because it's a 4x4, so it's got a massive lift on the suspension. But they're just gorgeous looking, this sort of round front forward control cab.
This would have done everything, from the milk round to beer to coal to hay, everything shifted on that flatbed, that drop side wooden flatbed, drop side, beautiful. That's how engineering was in those days. Phil, you'd been down here this morning and you said to me that some of them look actually better
than the day they were made. They look better than the day they came off the production line.
Come on, let's wonder which way should we go. Any direction. I don't know how many vehicles there are here. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 11, 12. I can probably see 20, so there must be 300 vehicles or more here. Gosh, how big is this? Right, let's walk down. We're walking down an avenue now, surrounded by classic and relatively contemporary commercial vehicles. Oh, I know, this is... Yeah, I knew it, the Foden. Tell us what it is.
It's a Foden 4400 Rolls-Royce diesel. And it's just gorgeous.
An L-reg.
Right.
Right, and, yeah, kind of from the lost 80s period of haulage. Oh, Foden, the name's gone, right? Again, faced off by probably the vehicle that ultimately killed that vehicle behind us. Directly opposite is a Scania R730.
I think it's the only V8, Scania make the only V8 or heavy haulage truck on the road now, manufactured today.
Wow.
So this is like the king of heavy haulage now.
Yeah, this is your Aston Martin, isn't it? Wow. I've seen these before. There are two Hingley trucks, or trucks in it, Hingley liverage. One's a Sedac, Seddon Atkinson. That's how we say it, isn't it, Phil? And then the other one is an AEC, both from, one from early 80s, the Seddon Atkinson, and the AEC from old classic 1964, is it G-Reg? Oh, they're so lovely, aren't they?
Yeah, Gardner engine to Seddon.
Yeah.
Million mile engine.
Is that what they said?
Really?
Yeah. It had to be, right? It had to be. On the other side, you've got a bit of a Volvo story as well. A contemporary Volvo FH12, well, P-Reg, and alongside it, oh, come on, can you name that Volvo there? Any guesses?
I couldn't, no.
Okay, I've just read it on the side. It's an F88, I didn't know that. But that is a classic. It was like the Volvo Amazon of trucks. Same period, right? Brutal. Right. What else we got here?
1959 Austin. It's got to be worth a mention. That's a rare truck.
Do you know, I completely blanked her. And I feel bad about that, because there you go. Something about the livery and its look, it almost crosses over into the Victorian, certainly Edwardian age. The graphics on board, written with drop shadow and stuff like that, you'd see the same sort of thing above a Western bar somewhere, I think. It's of its age. Beautiful. Rolls-Royce diesel power. I think you'll find it's actually a BMW, sir. I think it is. I think it actually is.
I think you'll find it's a Rolls-Royce.
The part of Rolls-Royce owned by BMW, I think, at that point. I could be wrong. Right, ERFs. We've got more Volvos, more Sedacs, an AEC. Oh, you go now. That was something that we all had as kids, wasn't it? The AEC's models of those. Did you ever? No. We're about the same age. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? Oh, now, this is your era, isn't it, Phil?
Right. So, Leyland Reaver.
You'll know the Leyland Reverb, late 70s, early 80s, And again, it was ubiquitous in the UK.
It's a brick truck. That's what it's made for. It's made for carrying bricks. Bricks and blocks.
This version here with the crane.
Yeah. It's got a brick crane on it.
Right. And it's long. I'm just going to creep down the side, right? It's alongside a Larisse Gabel unit. But it's long. The flatbed is split by the crane, which enables it to rotate 180 degrees to reach the stuff on the front half as well. Because you have the crane at the end, you'd need a longer boom, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You see that then? Yeah, that's the original sort of 80s JCB looking stuff, isn't it? On the boom.
Atlas
of course. Crane. Lovely. Right, come on, there's more. Do you know, it is like visiting a Matchbox store, I think, of classics that you had as a kid, as toys. They're all here, loads of Bedfords. Oh. The name Bedford's gone now, isn't it? Ah, nice to see a bit of Americana represented. Well, both Kenworths.
Both Kenworths.
Yeah.
Cummins engined.
Yeah. And that one on the left is not as old a truck as you think it might be. It's a V-Reg. The design is an absolute carryover from the 60s, isn't it? The American technology, they tend to stay with things longer, what I call intermediate technology. Look at a Harley Davidson, barely changed since the 1950s. Yes, I know that's a generalisation, but they stay with something and just make it more robust and more powerful. And so there's perhaps 20 years of development between these two trucks here, but doesn't always look like it, you know. Great.
Well, I watched a tube recently where guys are taking Scanias, the flat-fronted Scanias, and Volvos round the States and letting some of the Kenworth drivers have a go in them, you know. And they are absolutely blown away by just how fantastic the Scanias are. They're total cynics until they get in one and drive one.
It's a totally different experience. A European truck is a much more high performance, more sophisticated bit of kit than most American haulage, and they can't believe it. It's like getting on a Japanese race bike when you've ridden a Harley or a Buell perhaps before. Different approach, isn't it? No long bonnets, cab over. Oh, by the way, if you want to know more about trucks, here's an advert. I'm going to do an advert on the programme, Phil. I helped write a book for Darling Kindersley about trucks, which is available. It's called The Truck Book. Get it from your favourite book supplier, one of whom funds space travel. There are others. But yeah, if you want to be able to come to an event like this and think, oh, I know a bit more about what I'm looking at than I did before, have a look at that book. Like I said, I didn't write the whole thing, but I did contribute to large parts of it. Oh my gosh, there's something very exciting here.
Do you know what it is? It's an AEC Militant. It's a 6x6 drop side cargo or ammunition carrier, and it's an AEC Militant. And about 40 years ago I went to a yard in Frome and they had got half a dozen of these, and you could buy one for £500.
Whoa.
£500, and it had an Atlas crane on it as well.
So really?
Yeah, crane.
This thing is 1948, 50, something like that.
Yeah. It's a Second World War truck, this one.
Yeah, not registered until V registration here, so it's originally a military one.
Military,
and then finally registered on the road. Again, a classic sort of stub nose, pug nose, just that radiator standing proud of the flat front it had. It's such a look of that period, isn't it?
It's just gorgeous. They were really popular when they were bought by most people from the military, particularly with the timber crane on, the cargo crane. They were converted into timber carriers, forestry vehicles, because they are really quite capable.
That was exactly the word that comes to mind. It looks it. Either Owen Jones and Son, Haulage, Minerva, Wrexham. Right, long before Wrexham was fashionable, either Owen and Son's Haulage were operating Leyland Clydesdales. That was it. 80s. Richard Porter would like that. That would probably be his favourite here. He likes a bit of 80s Leyland.
Yeah, another gorgeous truck.
The American stuff on the other side, I just realised there's quite a display of American trucks. There's a Mack from the 90s, I would say. Yeah. A Mack from the 60s. Oh, the Ford. Oh, what was it? Hang on, I'm going to go over and read it. I don't know. I missed it, but there's a Ford, flat-fronted Ford. What do we call this? A 19,000. That's a bit of 70s America for you, isn't it? Look at that. That's the Ford Zephyr of the American truck in terms of time.
Cummins motor again.
Yeah, ubiquitous. I've said that twice, that word. I won't say it again, but they're, the Cummins were, everywhere still, aren't they? The consolidation in the truck industry has been parallel to the development of the consolidation of the motor industry for passenger cars as well. Mack in America is owned by Volvo. A firm called PACCAR own the vast majority of international haulage manufacturers. You know, they're like the Stellantis of trucks. Hang on, this is actually, I'm standing in front of a truck called an auto car. I've never heard that name on a vehicle before, and I've helped write books about trucks. The Jersey Giant, she's nicknamed. This is, looks like the sort of thing that would be a, what do they call, a sheep train, sort of thing that they use in Australia to haul 3 or 4 trailers. Big, long bonnet. Oh, it's got oversized written on it, and a huge set of fenders on the front. Probably to ward off kangaroos, mate.
Yeah, road train they're called, aren't they?
Road train, that's the word. Mighty, God, that would kill you, that would. Well, any of these would, but look at that, that would kill anything. An auto car constructor. Yeah, there's some brute force there, Phil.
Peterbilt.
Yes, again, Peterbilt's name's still around. It is a great name in trucking. You know, they're kind of like the Rover or the Jaguar, you know, respected and reliable. Actually, maybe not like the Rover or the Jaguar. Maybe more like a Mercedes. Contemporary Mercedes, talking of which, what do they call this one? It's not an Actros, it's too small. The 1626. That's just unbeatable, this, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Tilt forward cab, Phil. Changed everything, didn't it? The British, I believe, were the first to do tilt forward cabs, lifting cabs, which allowed access to engines. I can't remember which manufacturer it was, but something in the book I was involved in told me about that. Yeah, changes everything, doesn't it? Well done, America. Big row of American trucks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Must be, a dozen American trucks. And all the Brits at the bottom. And then Volvos. How many Volvos in a row? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 Volvos up against, and I know, Phil, you're going to like this one as well.
The strange thing is, American trucks never really took off in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And the biggest pushers and biggest marketing campaign in the UK was by Dodge trucks.
Uh-huh.
And you still see a few around, but they never really got going in the UK.
They're just built for a different purpose, aren't they? They'd be good for specialist use over here. They're much longer, they're not as manoeuvrable, they don't have the top speed that European trucks have. They have plenty of grunts, but it takes a long time to get there with gearing, and they use up 8 times as much fuel because fuel is 8 times cheaper. That's it. Right, an ERF Gardner 100 from, hang on, I'm guessing
1958, 1959.
Yeah, 59, like a Ford Consul of its period in terms of styling. Pretty, isn't she?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Got to get a picture of that Thames Trader. It's got a mini pickup, is it? Yeah, a mini pickup on the back of it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I wonder how long that this Thames Trader from, I'm looking at it, and I reckon that's 67?
I would say somewhere between 60 and 63.
Right. Let's find out. We got to know. It's got some great design cues, and it's got a mini on the back, a mini pickup. Moss Side Industrial Estate, Oldham. Buxton's Building Supplies Longbridge is the truck, and the Mini, which is immaculate as well, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
That's the same as my mother's Mini 1000, I think it was called, about 1972, 71 maybe, even earlier maybe.
Yeah, the Mini's probably worth twice what the... probably worth twice what the truck's worth. Yeah.
Sell them as a package, sir. I mean, you can't have one without the other. This is, again, noble-looking Thames Trader. All-wheel drive. Nice. Oh, more British trucks of the 50s and the 60s.
Six before.
Okay. Wow, that's going to be an ex-military, isn't it? Or there were unpaved roads?
No, I don't think the military ever took a contract out with the trader.
Mm-hmm.
It's just purely a commercial vehicle.
Yeah.
But again, with an Atlas crane right on the rear.
Yeah. Useful. Yeah, that would have been rescue truck then, probably, at some point.
Yeah. It's a transporter.
Yeah. Right, more to see. We're going to press on. It's just overwhelming, the number of trucks. Walking down an avenue that must be, I don't know, half a kilometre long, something like that, I don't know. And surrounded by an Albion. Oh. We lost Albion, didn't they? They went into the Leyland.
They became British Leyland.
Yeah.
You can see the extra little badge put on the grill there.
Yeah.
But Albion, they were a standalone manufacturer for years, and they had big military contracts with the Albion trucks.
K registration 72, I think, right, off the top of my head, with a nice classic Leyland, again K registration opposite. What's that? What do we call that one? We're going to go look.
It's a Beaver.
A Beaver. Bold name for a vehicle, I have to say. Good luck to them with that. Gareth Jones on speed! Again, here's another one which I feel, I just know you're going to faint over. Oh my gosh, I've just seen, is that a Pinsgower over there? I need to look at it in a minute. But I've just seen a Mammoth Major again. We've seen a Mammoth there. Right, they're just... You know that what that is? Dad's Army would have had one of those, right? They would have... Mr. Jones would have had one of those driving Mannering and the rest around. Don't tell him, Pike. Right, press on. More Leyland... Is that a Reaver? Is that called a Leyland... A Comet. Comet. Oh, and there's a British Road Services Albion again. In fire engine red. That looks like a Ferrari support truck, isn't it beautiful?
It is stunning.
Wow. If there was a competition here today, I don't know how you would judge the winner, because they're all to such an incredible standard. Right, brief conversation with my friend Mr. Williams about what's happening on this vehicle here. We've got a 12 tonne flatbed.
Right.
But it's got a box on the back. What do you call that sort of box?
It looks like an old comms box, an old military comms box or something. It's converted.
Glass fibre on a metal frame, and it's been turned into a living unit or what do you call that sort of thing? A living vehicle?
Well, it's a accommodation box, living box, isn't it? So it's possibly registered now as a motor caravan.
Which is, we're going to come to this, but that's something that you're exploring at the moment.
It certainly is, yeah.
Yeah. More on that in a future episode of On Speed. Yeah, the creativity here on the vehicles that have been converted into living vehicles. There are a few, and they're just exquisite. It's, you know, makes a, I'm going to say, gypsy caravan sort of vibe possible. Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm terribly sorry, sir.
That happened too often.
Fighting. Not looking where I'm going, bumping into someone else, also enjoying the vehicles with a smile. Thames Traders again in Gulf orange and blue. They are the handsome, aren't they?
They are beautiful, yeah.
You ever driven something like this?
No. The oldest truck I've driven was the 1953 RL, and no power steering.
Bedford RL.
No power steering. Very sort of Spartan, sort of an ergonomic cab, but incredibly simple to work on, even with no tilting cab on them, so very limited access to the engine, but still easier to work on than a lot of modern vehicles that have got a tilting cab.
Genius. There you go. British genius. You could probably hear in the background. Can you hear that? Pop and piff. Listen, let's just listen for a second. There are a row of, I don't know, arguably a dozen steam engines that are pumping water. It's a stationary engine from Derbyshire, from Peter Fuller of Derbyshire. It's a cooled open crank, 2.5 horsepower, Amco water pump. So it's a water pump, and it is an internal combustion engine, not a steam engine, but a single cylinder just banging away at a rate you can almost hear. Bang, 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 bang. Rotating a heavy flywheel, driving a belt that's pumping water. Great. That's great. You see stuff like that, you understand how the universe works, right? Oh, it's a nice old wooden flywheel there. Wow, oh, wow. What have you seen, Mr. Williams?
Foden 1953 with a showman's living box on the back of it.
A showman's living box.
It would probably have been a fairground wagon, this one.
Perfect of its age, its ilk. Oh, yeah.
Fairground or circus.
Yeah, dead giveaway. That sort of arched roof, the curvature on the roof. Yeah, you'd see those when your steam fair, the vintage steam fair comes to town, or the vintage fair, I should say. Vanessa Jane, she's called. Oh, yeah. Bit of a gypsy vibe to it again. We can say that. We can say gypsy, right?
Yeah. I think that's quite acceptable, yeah. For anyone with any sense, it conjures up romance and adventure.
Beautifully said.
This vehicle on the road, this vehicle's probably maxed out at less than 30 mile an hour, and we'd be probably cruising at somewhere around about 20.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 seconds between gear changes, and some kind of mount on the front. Is that a front tow pin?
Yeah, it's a tow pin for moving another showman's trailer.
Yeah. So when you get bogged down in your circus field, yeah, helping each other out. Honestly, this could be one of the longest episodes of Gareth Jones on Speed ever recorded, because there are, I've just seen, there's so many things here. Just look at the trim on the seats on this Bedford from, when's that, 1970?
Yeah, 1972 would it be?
Let me describe the trim.
1962.
Wow! Well, the trim on the seats, they're Burberry plaid on little seats. It would look great there, 1969 Morris 1000, I think. Beautiful! What have you seen?
I think it's a TL. So it's got the fifth wheel on the back, and it's towing a fuel tanker, it looks like.
Yeah, relatively small, 10 ton.
I think it's a TL.
Have a read, it'll say somewhere on it.
No, it's a TK.
A TK?
It's a TK, yeah.
Previous to the TL, but it's one of the later TKs, possibly. It's a 4x2 unit tank trailer. Fascinating. Oh, a right-hand drive Dodge. From what year is it?
I think this is one of the things that held Dodge back in this country, because it looks like a truck from the early 50s, and it's actually a 1963.
There you go.
So it's quite old-fashioned for the year of manufacture.
Intermediate technology. Keep it going and improve it. Don't invent a new one. That's American culture. Yeah. Yeah, Dodge. Comma were all part of the Roots group, I think, in the UK in that period, weren't they? Or it's a little bit later than that. The Leylands, the graphics on the Leylands are outstanding, aren't they? They shout at you, don't they? the word Leyland written on the front of every 1970s and 80s Leyland truck. Massive.
I think the key to this finish, this look, is it's coach enamel. It's like a synthetic coach enamel that they're sprayed with, and it gives them a very oldy worldy kind of look. It shines out.
Yeah, gloss.
Yeah.
Proper reflective gloss. Mirror. And it's been polished 1,000 times, hasn't it? This has been on the show circuit. Every one of these vehicles been on the show circuit forever, haven't they? They're pride and joy. Someone refuses to let them go. They were family heirlooms or something you drove when you were a kid. It's important, isn't it, that stuff?
It is important, and if you love these vehicles and you want to get into owning one, you can get so much truck for so little money. Just the bargain of the century.
Because you need somewhere to keep it and a few quid to keep it going.
Yeah, but they're simple to work on. If you're half handy as a mechanic, you can keep them on the road. If you join members' clubs, owners' clubs, there's parts available. All rubber parts can be remanufactured.
It's doable. They're simple, straightforward technology, most of them, aren't they? And the older you go, in some ways, the more likely it is you'll be able to keep it going, because you can fabricate the parts yourself with a hammer, really, can't you? Just a gentle reminder that on July the 19th, 2025, we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of this podcast with an event called 20 Years on Speed. It happens at a place called the Motorsport Lounge, which is in Llandudno, North Wales. So if you fancy making a weekend of it, coming up to join us for what will be a massive party and a live recording of the podcast involving the people in the room and a set by the Pit Stop Boys, that's Richard and Zog, and a full set by the On Speed Band, where we're going to play some of the songs I've written for this podcast over the years, which have never been played live before. Don't miss out on this genuinely exclusive event. Tickets are limited in number, so buy them now. Where do you get your tickets? Easy. Go to garethjones.tv or search on Eventbrite for 20 Years on Speed. See you there. It's my round.
Nice old comma. This is gorgeous. I was looking at this earlier.
Yeah, this is very old. A Leyland Comet. What's this? 48, Phil? 50 again?
1953 Comet, and it looks like ex-RAF or ex-Navy, so it's a crew carrier. It's a bus for carrying personnel.
You can tell just by looking at it what its function was.
It's got the look of an airfield, of an airfield bus.
Ex-RAF,
I would say.
Yeah, it's got a narrow set of windows on the upper half. Yeah, this would have been delivering flight crew to Lancasters, or just moving RAF people around an airbase in any form at all, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Quite probably. Or a military base. Yeah. The fact that it's blue, naval, were
well,
they?
It's Navy or RAF. I'd guess at RAF.
No clues written on it. Fascinating. What's the story? They all carry a story, don't they?
It's actually a mines rescue. So it would have carried the rescue crew at presumably a coal mine or a large mine.
Oh! Wow, get them there quickly in a vehicle that can get them there. Handsome.
Make a lovely caravan, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think that's probably what's going on indoors. Yeah. Lots of wood panelling. Beautiful, beautiful.
One of the most important vehicles on the road, most important commercial vehicle on the road, a dray wagon.
What is a dray wagon?
It's loaded up with casks of ale.
There you go. It is absolutely the most important vehicle you can imagine if you enjoy your leisure time. Man, It's handsome, isn't it? It's got how many barrels? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So probably 10, 24. Carry 30 barrels. 20, yeah.
Yeah. 24 to 30 barrels.
Yeah. Handsome, that wood on the green finish. I keep saying handsome, but it's... You mentioned the word romantic in relation to gypsy culture earlier on. There's a romance in all of these vehicles as well. Oh, but I've bushed aluminium for you now, Mr. Williams. Or are you looking at the other one?
Oh, it's an aluminium tipper body on this, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, unpainted. Beautiful in its minimalism. I like that. That's making the 80s statement for you, isn't it? Or 70s. What year is this? 76. Leyland... Reaver. What's that? Ferret?
Reaver Fever, it says.
That's what she's nicknamed, Reaver Fever. She is a Reaver. Nice. Glen Gorlick from Derbyshire's brought it here. Derbyshire, where the nicest people in Britain come from. End of. And again, more from Andrew Garlick in Derbyshire. From Buxton. Oh, lovely Buxton. The water. There ain't me ducks. Sorry. Had to do that. Leyland Constructor, that bluff-fronted, futuristic 80s. Actually, that company still exists because their vehicles in that period, Leyland, were extraordinary, weren't they? We had contracts for just about every public service bus. Leyland had contracts for just about every public service bus when it was still nationalised. That's what kept the company alive, wasn't it? It was a socialist vehicle.
Yeah, a big help to Leyland. DAF was replacing Bedford General Service trucks, 4x4s, with the military. They won a massive contract with the military, not just in the UK, but to militaries all over the world.
There you go. How politics and vehicle manufacturing can intersect. We had a period where things were owned by the government, so if you've got a government contract, whether it's military or civil, it can guarantee the success of your company. What have you seen, Mr. Williams?
It's a Morris commercial, so very similar to the Commer Q4, so really the last Commer and Morris and Austin were the last of the sort of long bonnet trucks before everything went over to being sort of flat-fronted forward control.
Yeah, it's the Morris Oxford of trucks,
yeah,
from about the same period when, you know, long upright Austin and Morris and many cars, of course, of that ilk, vertical grills. This one's been hammered over the years, hasn't it? You can see it's been patched up and rebuilt, and that rust worm has had it, the metal worm. Great. It's got a story, hasn't it? What's on the back? Can't see there. Come around this side. What's that? Oh, Phil! You're going to like that, aren't you?
Yeah, a ledge wagon behind it.
Towed behind a, what, 4-ton carry, yeah, carry 2 or 3 ton in the back there.
Yeah, 3.5 ton cargo, yeah, load.
But fairly short wheelbase with a trailer on the, yeah, back. That is a caravan. Oh, it's 4x4, you, yeah, say, yeah? Yeah? Oh, well, that's why it would be pulling this. And this caravan out the back, again, kind of fairground, gypsy vibe to both, right?
Yeah, the showman's caravan. The horse-drawn type they refer to as a ledge wagon because they've got a porch and a set of steps on the back.
A ledge,
that,
yeah,
creates a ledge.
Yeah. I don't think this has. Can we see around the back? No, we can't. I don't want to interrupt anybody's private space, but they look like they're enjoying it. Oh, this is beautiful. Hang on, Phil, we're missing a star here. Have you seen this?
Something else, that, isn't it?
Let me explain what we're looking at. Right, at the front end, we were distracted by this other vehicle. At the front end, you've got this absolute classic Matador, an AEC Matador from, what, 52 or something.
Yeah, I'd say pre-1950, to be fair. Oh, yeah. I don't think it's a Second World War truck. It,
no,
could be. But yeah, I think it's 1950, very early 50s, I think.
But it's towing, and the best word, I'm trying not to laugh, the best word I can find to describe this is a tin shed.
It is a giant corrugated tin shed, but what it actually is, it's the old chassis and running gear from a showman's wagon. and the body has obviously suffered or disappeared at some point altogether, and it's been repurposed with a sort of modern caravan box on it, which is made from zinc corrugated sheets.
It's brutalism, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
It is literally a bare corrugated tin shed. I say literally, it may have actually been finished in some way. No, it isn't at all. Beautiful. It's the most utilitarian thing I've ever seen in my life. I love that. If ever I had a vehicle to live in, it would look like that, Phil. He's inspecting the AC tractor.
The door's been quite heavily modified. It's got what looks like a high-up crane behind the cab, between the back of the cab and the cargo body, and it's got a sort of, well, I couldn't say it was homemade, but it's got a much later ground spade on the back.
A ground spade. So this is a device that you lower down that digs into the ground that allows you to pull someone else out with a winch.
It's got a huge mechanical underbelly winch, and when you're pulling with the winch from the rear, you lower the ground spade. And as the truck gets dragged backwards, the spade is designed to just dig in and go deeper and deeper into the ground until it gets enough grip to start winching what they're trying to recover.
Nice. Yeah. Dig in. Literally a giant claw. Yeah. A wedge claw that's forced in by the pull. The greater the pull, the more the wedge. Fascinating. Never considered that before. Come on, we've got more to see. Oh, another nice trailer. Again, on a 60s Foden, 50s Foden, with a very, very handsome, I would call that an Alpine shack on the back. Is this yours, sir? No? Okay. Oh, that's it. Hang on. Hold my recorder.
Gareth is now cuddling a large Ford commercial. That's an early Ford D series.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 1978, I think.
Yeah, I know you're not supposed to touch them, but I don't know why I love Ford commercial vehicles, particularly the D series. We used to drive cargos when I was a roadie, maybe that's why. My dad was a Ford man. But Ford did great lightweight commercial vehicles, medium weight commercial vehicles.
Well, the Ford D series, a lot of people in the know say that the Ford D Series is probably the best range of small commercial trucks.
Wow, yeah. Glad to hear that. They were everywhere. Delivering your Corona Pop, delivering your coal, your sand, your bricks. What was that one? Oh, was that for carrying animals? No, it's a...
Is it not a tipper?
Is it? Don't think it's a tipper. It is a tipper.
It's a wooden body tipping.
It's a tipper truck. Tipper. I haven't heard that word in 100 years. A tipper truck. Oh, what's the artichoke? Is it? It's a tipper truck. It's lovely. Oh, yeah, that's pretty. That would do me. A red Ford. You can live in the back of that, or is it just for transporting stuff? I think they probably are.
I think they're living in the back of that, aren't they? Certainly in 2/3 of it.
G. Davis and Son, Hoyleton Manor Farm, Cannock, Staffordshire. No wonder I love it, Phil. It's a black country truck, that. I love it. And there's another D-Series. What's this, 75, in a classic Ford maroon of that period, isn't it? Oh. John Riley and Sons. What were they moving around? Let's have a look. Anything you want. And an unfinished aluminium trailer, yeah, at coal.
Coal, I think you're right, yeah. Coal, yeah.
Beautiful. Dirty. And now, well, you know, we've leapt out of the 60s and the 50s and the 40s into the 70s and the 80s, a wall, and by that, you know what I mean, of Volvos and Scanias, that huge, I don't know, almost 3 metre bluff front that you get on contemporary trucks that makes them look so devastatingly impressive close up. Look how trucks have grown, Phil. You can almost see it. Look at that D-Series there next to these 34-tonne heavyweights. Yeah.
Well, that's down really purely to the quantity of bigger trucks is higher now. But the bigger trucks are the rare ones from years ago, from way back when. Have a look at a Mighty Antar or a Leyland Martian.
Well,
they don't come any bigger than that, really, or a Scammel Contractor.
Well, I'll tell you what then, Phil, because I know a little bit about what's here, because you mentioned it before. We'll get to the end of this row here. We'll pause for a minute, because I owe you a cup of coffee, and we will gather ourselves up, and we'll go to a vehicle that, for you, is... Would you describe as the star of the show?
It's the star of the show, as far as I'm concerned, definitely, yeah.
Okay, right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with something that we're going to describe, I hope, in some detail. But first, I'm a bit parched and overexcited. Listen to those motors pumping away and the sound of kids. Hey, what a happy day to be here in Llandudno, North Wales. Speak to you in a second. Stand by. Phil and I are now suitably refreshed. We've just enjoyed a smashing cup of coffee and / cup of tea. And before we get to what is Phil's star of the show, I just thought I'd have a short word about some of the public service vehicles, the passenger carriers that are here, because there's a row of, well, there are two rows of buses, but one got my attention, which is a Bedford, is it a Dupley, this?
I think it's an SBG, is it? 1955 SBG.
So it's the same platform as your the same engine and everything as your the Bedford R?
Yeah, I think it's got a Vauxhall 300 engine in it, Bedford 300.
And the reason I've stopped at this bus is, no, it wasn't my school bus. My school bus was actually even older than this. I kid you not, it was a Leyland Tiger Cub. But this bus is worth looking at because of the glass house. The whole thing, there's glass panels in the roof, there are glass... What do you call those up?
Alpine windows.
Yeah. What a gloriously happy thing to see the world in. It's designed, it's fit for purpose. And look at what the purpose of this bus was, Phil.
Yeah, it was based at Wynvower, the other side of Carnarvon. So it did Swallow Falls, Fairy Glen, all the old sort of Victorian sights and sounds.
It kind of unites the Festival of Transport and the Victorian extravaganza, this one vehicle. I travelled in one of these. My great mate Bobby Choman, hello Bobby, I know you're listening, when he got married a few years ago, he transported all the guests from the wedding to the reception in one of these. It was one of the happiest journeys I think I've ever been on. It was joyful. How lovely. But, you know, that might be my favourite bus here, and there's some great buses.
Oh, well, my favourite's parked right next to it here.
This is your favourite bus?
Bedford Duple.
Oh, hang on, let me just say that this other one that we were looking at, the Dupley, is from 1955, so I just want to say that. But this is your favourite. A stub-nosed, little bull-nosed fella.
The 1949 Duple. And what's this one? 20 seats? And it is just beautiful.
You can smell the velour on the seats. The cotton, is it a cotton velour, that stuff?
Yeah.
Classic bus fabric, you know. She's pretty. Janet, she's called Janet, that's why I'm giving her a gender. In classic period colours of cream and... What would you call that green? Marine green highlights?
It's a rural... I think it's rural green or rural. Forest green, isn't it?
What a great name for a green. Yeah.
It worked in its working day. It was the Snowden Sherpa for White Way. And I think they call the passenger coach buses that run to Llanberis, I think they're still called the Snowden Sherpa bus.
Great, and this was one of the first.
1949.
And there's some nice 70s and 80s buses, rather like the stuff I went to school in later years. But I know that my Tiger Cub, is actually on the circuit somewhere. I'd love to bump into it one day, but your absolute favourite, Phil. We're going to lead up to it. We're going to go via this Scammel here, right? Because your favourite is what?
Well, it's the Foden, the 6x6 Foden heavy recovery and mobile crane. And it's parked right next to a Scammel Explorer. 6x6.
Now that's
again with the wrecking crane on the back.
1947 post-war.
I think that's the Second World War truck, the Scammel.
Let's go and have a look. Come on, yeah. Let's find out. You'll know the brutality of Scammel military trucks of the war and post-war period. Exposed engine again, a Cummins engine. What's that, a straight 8 or a straight 6? Straight 6.
Let's have a look. I think it's a 6, isn't it?
It will be, won't it? Straight 6. Good size, easy of access to cooling, because this thing is going to run hot when it's pulling. And this was used for recovering other military vehicles, including tanks, yeah?
Yeah, heavy recovery, very, very capable vehicle. And it just looks like it's hewn out of granite or something. It just looks unstoppable.
Yeah, unstoppable, that's the right term. Trailers behind, crane on the back. 6x6, yeah?
6x6.
Look at that, it's got a huge winch underneath, like a fifth wheel, but with coiled cable, steel cable wrapped around it. Is that the winch? A big drum, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a winch drum.
With a cog on the top, so it moves very slowly. I get it.
Mechanical winch.
Yeah, unusual to see such a large drum on a winch, isn't it? In my experience, in my limited experience. Right, but your favourite, Phil, is the modern equivalent of that, which is the truck on the other side.
Well, this is the ultimate military heavy recovery truck. So it's a 6x6 Foden, and it is just an absolute monster of a machine.
From what year is this? 80?
Late 70s, maybe 1980. Still in use by the military today.
Really, the same vehicle?
Yeah.
There you go. If it works, keep it going, right? And this will haul what kind of weight? What sort of vehicles is it pulling out of trouble?
Well, I think the crane is a 25-ton lift. The winch on it is probably more like 30 ton for a direct pull. It's absolutely covered with stowage lockers, which carry, apart from a bit of rackage for jerry cans for spare fuel, every little bit of space, stowage space, is taken up by additional recovery equipment. Just the extra recovery equipment on it probably weighs more than a couple of cars.
Yeah. Hey, this, when we do the Dakar, Phil, this is what we want as our support vehicle.
It's just a monster of a machine. When you stood at the front of it...
We're going to do that. We're going round the front. It's got a tow point on the front. Good old Foden.
It's got to be 12 and a half foot, maybe 13 foot, to the top of the observer's hatch on the cab.
In olive drab.
In olive drab. And if you like this kind of military machine, heavy military machines... I've got to put a little plug in here for... Have a look on YouTube at Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Hughes. And he spells it how?
H-E-W-E-S.
Right.
It's a bunch of young guys in their late 20s. Joe Hughes, Jack and Adam and Seth. If you enjoy watching very clever, very funny people having a fantastic time messing about with big boys' toys, give it a look and you will be hooked.
Wonderful. Thank you, Phil, for bringing me here today. Love the star of the show. For me, I think it was that Ford D-Series. Right. My instant response was I wanted to hug it. And I know you probably want to kiss and hug B15FOD. That's a good number, isn't it, for this vehicle?
Well, yeah.
You've been listening to Gareth Jones on Speed. He's Phil Williams.
Goodbye for now, guys.
And we'll be back with more on Speed, because there's so much more to see here. All right, okay, let's go and have a look at this Scammel.
Contractor.
That's a contractor. So that was moving rubble and things. We'll just keep going. We'll say goodbye, but me and Phil are going to carry on here. Yeah, look at that. That's very American, isn't it? And it's long bonnet. It's all lovely.
And these guys, Fowler... I think they used to make steam engines, didn't they?
Is that where they come from?
That's what they're famous for, I'm sure, yeah. Shunters and heavy steam engines.
And this one is a tractor unit. It's just a two-track.
It's a lifeboat tractor.
It's
a lifeboat tractor, and they probably marketed it as... I don't know if the military would have bought this, but it's a beach recovery vehicle.
Of course it is, yeah. Used to have one of these in Rill, probably, hauling the boat up onto the... Amazing.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang.
Gareth Jones on Speed!